Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. This is a continuation of the message we spoke last week, Stay in the Battle. And we covered a couple of points last week. The first being that we are all in a race, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but there's only one that receives the prize? And so he says, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And so that's the first point today, is that we're all in a race. We call it life. We call it the rat race. We have a lot of different names for it. But the summation of it all is that we are in a race. God has put us here on this earth. He has given us life. He has given us a calling and a destiny. And you, whoever you are out there listening today, you have a unique calling, you have a unique destiny, you have a unique purpose. God did not create anybody just like you. You are uniquely created in His image. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. And so we are made in the image of God. We have creative attributes. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to strategize. And we have the ability to make wise decisions or foolish decisions. And so God gives us choice. He gives us our free will so that we can accomplish the things that we desire for ourselves in life. So run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And the second point we covered last week is that you must discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself. Life is a battle. It is a test of our strength in a way. It is a test of our ability to discipline ourselves. And if you want to have long life, the Bible says first you need to learn to obey your parents. And then secondly, you need to discipline yourself so that you can run in the race, just as a good track runner or a good marathon runner or a professional athlete. They discipline themselves, they buffet their body, and they strengthen themselves with good training habits, good diet, and training protocol that will strengthen their body and increase their ability to endure over the hardships of their sport. And so that is our calling as well. We have to discipline ourselves. And so in Galatians 5:16, Paul says to walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh and the Spirit are in opposition to each other, and we want to always give in to the desires of the flesh, but as we discipline ourselves, then we train our spirit to overcome the temptations and the pitfalls that come with giving in to our flesh all the time. And so when the devil comes to tempt us, he tempts us through the flesh, he tempts us with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so the devil is always trying to tempt us in our weakest place, whether it's through sexual immorality, whether it's through lust or gluttony or alcohol or drug use or whatever. The devil is always trying to tempt us in our weakest place. And so we must discipline ourselves. We must buffet and strengthen our body so that we can run the race. And Paul says in verse 27, 1 Corinthians 9, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. Well, it takes discipline to walk the walk with the Lord Jesus. It takes discipline to show up for work every day and to put in a good day's work and work hard for your boss, or if you're self-employed, to work hard for yourself and for Jesus. And so when you discipline yourself in the natural world, you reap the benefits of that. You reap the consequences of that. You get a pay raise, or you get a promotion, or you get bonuses and benefits that go with hard work. And so it is in the kingdom. When you discipline yourself and you prime yourself to do a great job for Jesus and be pleasing to your Lord, then there's benefits in the kingdom to you. There's benefits to your physical body. God will give you long life when you obey your parents and when you discipline yourself and do not dissipate with drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes and all that type of stuff. And so there are benefits in the kingdom world to disciplining your body and making yourself fit to run the race and be in the battle for the long term. Well, the third point that we made last week, and we're going to go over that a bit today, is do not be surprised if you suffer as a good soldier of Christ. Do not be surprised if the fire and the brimstone come against you, if the fire and the hell of the devil and his angels come against you, beloved. Don't be shocked, because as a believer, you are prime target number one by the devil. You are in his crosshairs, and he would love to take you out. And so that is the devil's program. It is the antithesis of the kingdom of God. It is the antithesis of everything that Jesus wants to accomplish in your life. The devil has just the exact opposite program. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And so the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that's not a very pretty picture of the things that can happen in our lives. We don't want stuff stolen from us. We don't want our lives destroyed. We don't want to be killed, and we don't want to kill others. And so that is the devil's program. He works very hard. He doesn't take any vacations. He doesn't take any sick leave. He's on call all the time, and he has demons assigned to your life and assigned to my life to try to take us down, take us out, kill us, destroy us, steal from us, steal our health, steal our possessions, steal our passion for the Lord, steal our zeal to accomplish things for the kingdom. And so that is the devil's program. And beloved, he's very good at it. He's been practicing for a long time. And just because you said yes to Jesus at a youth rally, or yes to Jesus after listening to a great sermon one time, that didn't deter the devil. It didn't discourage him. He doesn't get discouraged. He will stay after you, and his demons will stay after you. As long as you are breathing here on this earth, he will be after you. And so as good soldiers for the kingdom army, expect to be in the battle, expect to suffer hardship, expect to have trials, expect to have suffering, expect to have tribulation, expect for things to be difficult at times. And if you expect that, then when things go good and your faith is built and your faith is strengthened, then each and every day you can get up and you can say, praise God, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and this is the day that you've made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so your faith goes from just being a crisis kind of a faith, and your prayers go from being crisis prayers to a faith that endures no matter what circumstances, no matter what situation, no matter what's going on in your life. Your faith endures in every circumstance and situation, so that you can say, praise God, I'm going to praise him in the valley, I'm going to praise him on the mountaintop, I'm going to praise him on the benches in between. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are or what the situations in my life are at this particular time, because my God is faithful, my God is everlasting. He's the same God that was here yesterday, and he was here thousands of years ago, and he'll be here 2,000 years from now. And so we can say, praise God, no matter what is happening, that we can look to God in every situation and not look to our circumstances to try to ascertain, is God with me today, or is God against me today, or where is God today? He's always there, beloved. He will never forsake you, and he will never abandon you. And so you can look to God every day in every situation, and even more than that, you can praise him in every situation and every day of your life. You can give him praise. He is worthy of our praise. Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise. And so as he is worthy of our praise, it behooves us and it benefits us and it blesses us to praise him in every situation. Well, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 now, and read the trials and tribulations that Paul went through. He's making a case for the suffering that he has been through. He's making a case for the fact that he has given all to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave up much. He says, all of the things that I accomplished in my life, I count it as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And so in 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul lists some of the things that he went through in his service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's talking about stripes at the whipping post or lashes with the cat of nine tails, or sometimes they beat them with rods, but it tore up their flesh unmercifully and just ripped their flesh to shreds. And so Paul says, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, that is in the ocean, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then is if that is not enough, then he goes on in verse 28 to say, besides these things, what come upon me daily, or what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul was a church planter. He went all over several countries in what we would call now Southern Europe or Asia, Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, and he planted churches. And he said, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? And so Paul saying, I have a burden for all of these churches. They're all baby believers. They stumble easily. They don't know what they're doing a lot of the times. And so Paul says, I carry the burden, and he carried it in prayer. He carried it in intercession, and he also carried it when he received letters from these people. He interceded for their problems, interceded for their issues. And so the point in all of this, all of these sufferings that Paul encountered, all of these sufferings that he took upon himself, he did it because of his love for Jesus Christ. He did it because he wanted to give all for Jesus. I had the opportunity a few years ago to receive a prophecy from a lady, and it wasn't a very pleasant prophecy. It wasn't one that I really was looking forward to, but the prophecy, she called me up as a lady that had prophesied over me several times before in my life, and she called me up and said, Jim, the Lord is saying to me for you, Hebrews 12:4, and that passage of scripture says that you have not yet shed blood in your battle against sin. You have not yet experienced the shedding of blood in your battle against sin. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, how can I look forward to this, to shed blood for you in my battle against sin? And I had to admit that in all my travels, I've been to Mexico for the gospel's sake many times, been to Costa Rica, all over the United States, but I had to admit that I really hadn't shed blood for the kingdom. I hadn't really had to suffer very much. It had all been pretty pleasant for the most part. And in fact, many times it was very joyous working for the Lord Jesus. Good food, good places to stay, good travel, lots of great travel companions, good work to do, good places to preach. And I had never shed blood. And so I thought, Lord, how can I look forward to this prophecy? And I have to say, beloved, that I was not looking forward to it. I was not looking forward to shedding blood. And I had no way to know what the extent of that was going to be. I didn't know what it was going to look like. And yet I know that in this last year in Africa, I shed blood. I don't want to go into details on the situation, but I did fulfill that prophecy. And I tell you that when you fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus Christ, Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 11, he wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And we have to understand, beloved, that we have life very, very easy, that we even in most cases have death very easy. We are comforted in death by a lot of medical help, a lot of medical establishment, good medical care. We're comforted, and so we don't suffer very much here in America. We don't suffer for the gospel's sake. We don't suffer for anybody's sake very much. And so Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. He wanted to know the depth of the suffering that Jesus suffered for us. And beloved, when you start to identify yourself with Jesus and you say, Jesus, here I am, send me. And you say, Jesus, I want to know you in the deepest way that I can know you. Beloved, you're opening yourself up then to being in the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. And then you understand what Jesus gave up, what Jesus suffered when he went to that cross, the most unmerciful, painful death there was at the time and probably still is to suffer and die on the cross, to be hung on that cross. And the blood of Jesus was precious because it was sinless, spotless blood that was shed for us on the cross and shed for us at the whipping post. And when they drove the nails through Jesus' hands and drove the nails through his feet, beloved, he cried out, and he cried out for you. He cried out for me. He shed his precious blood every drop at a time, one drop at a time. He shed his precious blood that we could know him for all eternity and that our sins could be covered, our sins could be washed clean by the precious, righteous blood of Jesus Christ. And so that is the message from all this suffering, is that as a good soldier in the gospel, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we are going to suffer. And the goal is to gain Jesus Christ. We are not there yet, but we keep pushing on. We keep pushing to reach the goal. As a good runner trains himself so he can finish the marathon or he can finish that mile run, a good runner buffets his body and he prepares for hardship, and then he keeps his eye on the goal. He looks at that tape when he's coming around that last lap and he sees it and he wants to get there, and he strives and he goes through a great deal of pain so that he can get to that tape first and he can run as if to win the prize, to win the ribbon, to win the gold medal in the Olympics. And so we are not at our goal yet. We keep going, we keep pushing. In Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended. He's talking about the goal. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's not looking behind. We've all had lots of failures. I myself have had many, many failures. I've had a testimony of drug use and alcohol abuse and a lot of failure. I was a prodigal son for several years out there in the pig pen eating the slop with the pigs. And many of you can identify with that. You've had walk with the Lord that may have been good at times, and then you fall away and you forgot the Lord and you walked with the devil at times in your life. And so that is a part of my testimony as well, but it gives me more passion to preach the gospel. It gives me more zeal. It gives me more understanding. When I go into the prison to preach, I can relate to those guys and the places they've been in their life and the testimonies that they give. And so Paul says, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Some of you, you just need to forget what has happened in your life. Not to get amnesia, that's not what I'm talking about, but you just need to move forward and stop letting those things that have happened in your life, those negative things, those places where you ran away from the Lord, or you ran away from your responsibilities, or ran away from your family. You need to just forget about those things and move on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let your past say, well, because you've been this or you've done that or you've gone there or you've made a lot of mistakes, whatever. You may be sitting in prison. You may be sitting in jail. You may be having all kinds of problems now because of some stupid, foolish decisions that you made or mistakes that you've made. Don't let your past dictate your future. Your calling and your destiny is still intact. God has not changed his mind about you. He still loves you. He created you. He created you for his purpose. He wants you to move forward into your calling, into your destiny, and let those experiences of your past be part of your testimony. Let them instruct you. Let them teach you. Let them give you wisdom, but don't let them hold you hostage to keep you from moving into your destiny. Your destiny is still intact, and God wants you to move forward for the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Your destiny is to know Jesus Christ, to know him in an intimate way, to have a knowledge of him and a knowledge of his desire for you and a knowledge of his plan for your life. And you can't do that when you're being held hostage by the mistakes that you've made in your past. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says in verse 20 in Philippians 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we all also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, your prize is going to be greater than any earthly prize. You're going to walk into heaven someday, and the saints and the angels are going to cheer when you walk in, and they're going to say, we have been waiting for you. Welcome to this wonderful place. And Jesus Christ will say, come in, my good and faithful servant. I have prepared a place for you. And so our citizenship is in heaven. This life is going to be over soon enough. It will be over quickly, too soon. Most people fight and fight to have more life. And I'm sure you're going to be the same way. This life will pass quickly. And our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through this life. This isn't our final goal. This isn't our final resting place. Yes, your body, your flesh, your clay is going to lay in the earth somewhere, whether in ashes or in a coffin. But beloved, this is not your home. And set your eyes on the goal. Set your eyes on the prize. Set your eyes on the eternal life, the eternal walk with Jesus Christ, and the eternal abode where you will be with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. And then the final point I want to make today, stay in the fellowship, beloved. Stay in the fellowship. If you're listening to me today and you don't have a church home, find a church home, swallow your pride, and go to church on a Sunday morning or whenever, Wednesday or whenever they have services. Find a good Bible-believing church, one that preaches out of the Bible, that preaches about Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation, and go to that church. Get involved, find something to do, join the worship band, help in the nursery, do something to move the kingdom forward. Go on a mission trip. You can come to Africa with me if you think that would be something that would appeal to you. But stay in the fellowship so that you can receive the encouragement that comes from being in the fellowship. You can receive the prayers of the saints to lift you up in prayer when you get discouraged, when you get down, when you get tired and weary. You can have those brothers and sisters come alongside you and pray for you and encourage you and admonish you and strengthen you and sometimes even rebuke you and sharpen you. Hebrews 10:24, Paul says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, or so much more as you see the end day approaching. And so Paul says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Some people have quit. Some people don't go to church. They got offended in church. They got hurt. And so they've sworn off church. They don't want to go. They don't want to step foot in a church. But Paul says, exhort one another to go, exhort one another and encourage one another and assemble together so that you see other believers in their pursuit of God. You see other believers as they pursue the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it gives us encouragement. It gives us strength. It gives us hope in the battle. And so because of the encouragement we get from other believers, then we too are encouraged to continue our walk and to strengthen our own walk with the Lord. Well, beloved, I hope that you have been blessed by these messages of stay in the race. I hope it makes a difference in your life. I encourage you to stay in the race, stay in the fellowship, stay in the battle, for the battle is not won, but it will quickly be over, and we will be in our heavenly abode with our Lord Jesus Christ if we have run the race well. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope each and every one of you would sit down and bless this ministry by making a contribution and praying for this ministry. I'm going back to Africa here in a couple of weeks, and so pray for me, pray for the ministry, pray for the kingdom of God to be raised up and to be glorified in the nations of Africa. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.